This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. And we're talking to Bill Tong, whose family business, a multi-generational family business in Chicago, is in jeopardy due to eminent domain legislation and eviction. And the Illinois Policy Institute managing editor, Hillary Gowans, joins us. And Bill, you were just telling us about this family-owned business. Tell us the story now of how the university approached you, because it didn't start with a legal battle, did it, Bill?
No, it did not. The university had apparently planned to do this, and we learned after the fact that they had actually tried to do a quick take, which is would have required special authorization by the legislature, and they were turned down. So I don't think they ever intended to negotiate with us in good faith. Basically, we got a letter. A number of the other affected business owners got a letter in the mail. It was kind of vaguely worded. And a lot of people didn't, including us, didn't pay serious attention. And then we later realized that they intended to sue us in court and take our land by force. So the first thing we did was we didn't really know each other since we didn't actively run the business anymore. You know, my dad had retired in '84, and we owned the property. We were the landlords, so the restaurant was still being operated but by tenants. But again, because my dad paid the property taxes and things, we were told that if we didn't sell, they would sue us in court and take it by force. So. It was sprung upon us, and
it was sprung upon. You know what I want to do for you here, Bill, is play you a clip from the Northeastern Illinois University president, and well, she basically had tried to buy your property from you, as you said, you wouldn't sell it, and here's Sharon Haas responding to you not selling.
If your question is whether I believe they have the right not to sell, I don't believe they have that right.
You don't have that right not to sell your property to a university who wants to use your property, not just for strict government purposes. They were going to build retail establishments there.
Right, and Bill, not include the existing businesses. They would kick the existing businesses out so that whoever was favored, their cronies would take over those businesses on the first floor.
And so, Bill, because you weren't selling your property in Northeastern Illinois, they're now trying to force you through an eminent domain claim, and that brings us to the law, a legal mechanism to take over your property if it serves a broader public purpose, such as a highway, as we discussed with Hillary. And so, Hillary, I'd like your thoughts here about, what are the next steps? Talk about what the next legal steps are.
Well, unfortunately, people like Bill who are just hardworking people who are trying to make a living, they don't have the deep pockets to match any IU. Any IU can, they can stand to weather a long legal battle. But I wanted to take a step back, actually, and just make a broader point about why this example is so scary. And this happens all over the country, Lee. So NEIU, this public school, they're saying they absolutely need to build dorms to serve their students. This is absolutely a public good. This is really similar to a Supreme Court case that came down in 2005. That case was Kelo v. New London. The case centered upon the city of New London, Connecticut, which said that it needed to take a 9-acre swath of land because it wanted to spur economic development. The linchpin of that plan was to attract a new research facility. Pfizer was going to come in, and they promised a boatload of jobs. But in Kelo, we heard the government's wish list. We want to attract this new business. We want to attract new jobs. At NEIU, they're saying we need this new housing because we need to attract new students. And what's really scary is that time after time, government agencies are using their wish list and converting it into a desperate public need. And in many cases, it's serving a limited number of people. In most cases, it's hurting more people than it's helping.
I have a clip here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill. No, you fill that in, Bill. Go ahead.
I always felt that their excuses were thinly disguised, and they were just pretext. I mean, it's a $50 million land deal. That's what I think it is. And they were going to come up with any kind of explanation that they thought would work. But
there's a developer, Bill, that's standing to make a lot of money from this.
American campus communities. That's the main thing. The main thing is that the developer has to make a lot of money. That's why they get to develop it, but it's publicly owned, so they don't pay property tax on it. So it's a windfall for them. The existing businesses are the ones who are screwed out.
Yeah, the developer gets together with the campus, and they come up with some pretext. They do what they want. The campus gets served, they say. The developer gets served, and the property owner, well, they're out. I wanted to read you something. The Northeastern Illinois professor Marcus Feldman said, here's his explanation, that this could be done as a public policy purpose when the best information suggests that it will serve the top 10% of our student body. The top 10% of a university with 9,000 students justifies a broad public purpose to devote so much public resource on a lengthy eminent domain lawsuit doesn't measure up to public purpose to me. So the good news is there are some actual good voices on your side, but I wanted to play one more clip for both of you from the aforementioned Sharon Haas, the president. Take a listen to this clip.
If I would speak to the Tong family, and I were speaking with them directly, I would say I recognize that you do not wish to give up your property. You will be receiving a fair market value for your property. It is my hope that you may take that funding and do something appropriate, but this is progress within the law, and we are continuing to do this on behalf of our university, on behalf of our students, and on behalf of our future.
Wow, so how does that sound to you, Bill? Are you going to do something appropriate with that money?
No, like I said, it's a land deal. Their own commission study says that most of the student body could not afford dorms if they built them. So it's something with a predetermined purpose, and they're going to build it whether the dorms fill up or not.
Hillary, the audience right now is probably jumping out of their seat. What happens next, and what does this mean to people around the country and their own property rights, Hillary?
Well, I think this should scare everybody who's listening. And what really frustrates me, and you know, you played that clip of Sharon Haas, and I actually was there. We interviewed her, and she said with a straight face that this school's use of eminent domain is progress within the law. And what really frustrates me is this idea that if government can just prove it needs to use eminent domain, meaning the taking of people's property, they just need to use it for public use or a public good, then this is okay policy. But I would argue that you need to take a step back and ask yourself if you think government should have the despotic power to take private property at all. And I'd say the answer is no. I would say that property rights are fundamental to our individual liberty.
And the question I have for you, Hillary, and I'll leave it with this, is what was the Supreme Court thinking in 2005? And more importantly, aren't there states that have laws on the books that have sort of put a higher ceiling on that Supreme Court threshold?
Well, I sure wish I could tell you what they were thinking back in 2005 when they ruled in favor of the city of New London. But the Supreme Court's ruling in Kelo v. New London ultimately said that governments could use eminent domain as a tool for economic development, and that's very scary. Now, the good news is that after that decision, about 40 states went back and looked at their laws on eminent domain and tried to tighten the rules a little bit. But as you can see, and as Bill knows all too well, that didn't happen thoroughly enough, especially in Chicago, especially in Illinois. We're still seeing government abuse its despotic power of eminent domain to just absolutely demolish the little guy.
Well, you know, this is an important story, and we're going to stay on this. And ultimately, Hillary, and thank you, Bill, for joining us. Hillary, I want to have you back because the question can still remain, what can the people do in terms of sending a message to their state legislature and say, no, we want to tighten the words, we want to tighten what public purpose means, and we want to get darn specific. To hand hog and tie government's ability to take our most fundamental right away from us, our right to property. Really quickly, Hillary, on that.
Sure. Unfortunately, a bill last year did not pass that would have eliminated public universities' right to use eminent domain for purposes like this. At this point, honestly, on behalf of my friend Bill Tong, I would just urge anyone who's listening who's concerned to email or call the board members of Northeastern Illinois University and tell them that you don't think this is right. Tell them that you don't think this is fair. Because at this point, unfortunately, our last hope is that they have a change of heart and realize the error of their ways.
Well, I thank you so much, Hillary, for fighting this fight. Hillary Gowans, Illinois Policy Institute's managing editor, and Bill Tong. Bill, thanks for fighting and keep up the fight.